Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends, on this Thursday. God bless you today. Hope you're having a wonderful Thursday. Thank you for tuning in here today, be it 6:30 a.m. here on 1510 WWBC and its FM stations, or right here on WMIE 91.5 at 7:30 a.m., 5:30 in the afternoon here, rebroadcast. Thank you guys and gals for spending 30 minutes of your day to join me. We're in the book of Revelation here on WGOD. This is the radio ministry brought to you from Island Community Church, which I am the senior pastor at. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30, Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock, and what you hear on the radio is what we do at our church. Teach the Word of God, mostly the New Testament, verse by verse. Sunday mornings, I'm in the book of Hebrews, and chapter 10 this weekend. Wednesdays, we are in the book of 2 Corinthians. I just wrapped up chapter 7 yesterday. Pastor Darren Solana, my associate pastor, heads up the men's Sunday school. Well, actually, a church-wide Sunday school, Sunday mornings, 9:30 to 10:15. He is in the book of Mark, and he is in chapter 11 in the Gospel of Mark. So that's what we do here. And for those of you tuned in here to the radio program, if you visit, you know exactly what to expect. Now, here on the radio, I wanted to keep this with something brand new. You've been hearing, I've been replaying older sermons in the past. I'm not going to do that right here anymore. Now you're going to hear the sermons which are preached on Sunday, as well as me being semi-live here in the studio here at my church, recording a brand new study here, brand new series through the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 2. We're going through verse by verse. I would love to hear your questions or your comments. If you have any, you can write to me at elected77@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your questions, your feedback. Okay, we're in Revelation chapter 2. We've started looking at this first of the seven churches. As we go through this, I believe when he says, "Now to the angel of the church at ... right. That's the Greek word angelos. I don't think that he's dictating a letter to John to give to someone that he cannot see. He's not going to have a man give a letter to an angel. But the word angelos means more than just angel. The word means a messenger as well. And I believe that he's writing these to the spiritual leader at the church here. And the pastor. Now, I'm a Bible translator. My Bible is available if you're ever interested. It's called the EMTV, the English Majority Text Version. And I've translated that as the messenger or the pastor. So we're going to go through and read them that way here to the messenger, to the pastor of the church at Ephesus, right? So let's pick it up again here from the top of chapter 2. We're looking at this first letter to this first church that's gone down in history being remembered as the loveless church. Now, to the messenger of the church at Ephesus, right? "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks or lampstands." Now, we don't have to wonder who that is because he tells us himself just a verse or two before that, what this is. Remember, when the symbolism is difficult to understand, he gives us the answer to. The end of chapter 1. Verse 20, he says, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw on my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels or the messengers or the leaders of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands, which you saw, are the seven churches. Now, there was more than seven churches in Asia at this time. Why only seven? Well, this number is a recurring number here in this book. Seven represents perfection, totality, completeness. So these seven churches are going to represent, I think, the seven church ages. You could find yourself in any one of these seven different types of churches here. This is this loveless church. They've left their first love, as we're going to see here in a minute. Then in verse 2, he writes, I know your works, your labor, and your endurance or patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Isn't that funny how he commends them for that? He commends them for not putting up with evil. Remember, he's right into the pastor there. He's commending this pastor, the spiritual leader here of this church. He's giving him an attaboy for not putting up with evil inside the ranks, inside the church doors. Remember, early on in the book of Acts and in the first century of the church, people were dropping down dead for lying to God, for lying to the Holy Spirit, for lying to the apostles. So he commends the spiritual leader here for not putting up, for not tolerating evil in the church ranks, I'd imagine. Then he says, you have tested those who said that they were apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. Well, this is much easier for us to do today than it was for them. Because a person, according to the word of God, can no longer be an apostle today. Because according to the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 22, an apostle had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. So let's follow the Bible here. Acts chapter 1, verse 22, to be an apostle, you had to, I like to say figuratively speaking, you had to know the color of Jesus' eyes because you saw him with your own eyes. Your eyes locked eyes with the Son of God, and you could tell people, remember, an apostle, apostelos, is one that is sent. These men were sent. They were an eyewitness. They knew Jesus. They saw him, and then they were sent with that message. Christ is alive. He's not dead. He's alive. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, over 500 people saw him alive. You had to be an eyewitness, though. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:1, he said, am I not an apostle? Haven't I seen Jesus? So this was the requirement, Acts chapter 1, verse 22. Another way, 2 Corinthians 12:12. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and in mighty deeds. Now we read on in the book of Acts. I'm sure you guys know when you read the book of Acts, extraordinary miracles accompanied the apostles. From being in Peter's shadow to Paul's handkerchief, they're healing people. Peter, I think for the most part, reflected the glory of Christ more than any of the other apostles. After the day of Pentecost, we read the extraordinary things that Peter did. Peter could look at a person and know what their sin was. He looked at a person, knew that they were lying. Peter could tell someone, again, figuratively speaking, he could tell someone to drop dead. And he did that twice. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, two people lying to God early on in the church. Now, I encourage you to be careful if you want to be living under the book of Acts again, because these are the kind of things that happen during the time of the book of Acts. First of all, for lying, if you lied there at the church, they ended up having funerals for you. also, you were required to go out and sell everything. Well, this is what everyone did. Required. No, you weren't required about it. But everyone there in the church, they went out, they sold their houses, they sold their businesses, they sold everything that they had and brought it in and laid it at the feet of an apostle. So you can't have one without the other. If you believe in apostles today, then you need to go out, sell your house, sell your business if you own a business, maybe sell your cars, and take all that money and give it to those people who you say are apostles. Now, Jesus commended them for testing them who claimed to be apostles, and he said that they're liars. And this was the way to test one back then when you had people that were able to tell you the color of Jesus' eyes. Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you in signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. So that's what he commends them for. We look in the Bible and see what a real apostle looked like. The apostle Paul wrote, "For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, as last. Men is condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the whole world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise." Catch the sarcasm here. We are weak, because these guys were trashing him behind his back, saying, "No, he's not an apostle. Don't believe him. Don't listen to that." But now he's showing you what a real apostle looks like. Verse 11, I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. "To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We're poorly clothed. We're beaten, homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things until now." 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 through 13. So I'd have to ask the question, is this you, Mr. Apostle? Here's a list of 12 things which the Lord would commend you as well for testing. But that's even, you can't even do that anymore, because no one can be an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ anymore. But I say this because in my travels, I have run into many, many people who claim that they are apostles, or who go to fellowships that have apostles, the people who call themselves apostles, and they bring them in and have revivals and services with people who call themselves to be apostles. Here is the Apostle Paul's list of what an apostle looks like. And I'd have to ask you out there, does the person that you know fit the bill here for an apostle? First of all, he's last. Second, he's condemned. Thirdly, he's a public spectacle. Fourth, he's a fool, regarded as a fool. Fifth, weak. Remember, Paul knew the secret that when he was weak, then he was strong. He said he rejoiced in being weak. Number six, he's dishonored. Number seven, hungry. Number eight, his clothes come from the thrift store, not Savile Row. Number nine, he's homeless. I mean, this fits the bill more. Some people, with all love and honor and respect, some people that come to our food pantry than someone that calls himself an apostle out here today. Are you homeless? Number 10, hated. Number 11, persecuted. Number 12, the filth of the world, or the offscouring of all things. That is something that you'd grab a stick to scrape off the bottom of one's shoe. That is what a true and genuine apostle looked like. Now, verse 3, more commendation. He says, "And you have persevered, and you have," again, there's that word, hupomone, perseverance, patience, That's what happens when you abide under the hand of God. When you're going through trials, something gets developed in you, a spiritual compound that transforms you into someone like King David, who killed a lion and a bear and then slayed someone 9'6". Endurance. So he says, you have persevered and you have endurance and you have labored for my name's sake. And you have not become weary. You see, the Lord recognizes all the hard work that you do for his name's sake. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, the Lord Jesus is watching. And your labor is not in vain. He's taking notice of what you're doing out here. And not only that, but he walks among us. Again, the Apostle Paul, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. The King James says, if we don't faint. He said, don't grow weary. In due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. So keep on doing what you're doing. Your labor is not in vain. You might not see the results to it, but God is faithful. Be persistent in what you do. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay, now what, if any, are the Lord's complaints against the Ephesian church? Verse 4, he says, nevertheless, meaning in spite of all of the good that you're doing out there, nevertheless, I've got this against you, that you left your first love. All right, so their first love was what or whom? Well, the answer to that is him. The whole reason for their salvation, the point and the reason for everything. It's why we're gathered together here. That's what we do. Love. Love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples. We read in John 13:35, that you love one another. 1 John 3:14, he says, by this we know we have passed from death unto life, in that we love the brethren. That's the whole reason for them being right with God. He who doesn't love his brother is a murderer, he says. They lost their young, exciting love they had for the Savior. Now, 30 years has passed since Paul started this church. Now, hear me now. If you're not careful, or if you are a lackadaisical guard, and if you don't guard your heart against this evil, wicked world out here that we live in, all you have to do is turn on the television set. That's why I tell my friends and those here at the church, when they're, you know, they come to me in distress over what they see on the news and riots and burning cities down and stuff. You see, I don't get involved in this. I'll see enough to see if the world's coming to an end out there, but I don't get emotionally attached to this, because if you do, then you find yourself a card-carrying member of this loveless church, where you've let the evils of this world penetrate your heart and do damage to you. And then when the smoke clears, you see, you've left your first love. It's Christ. If you don't guard your heart against this evil world, then the passage of time can lead to you too leaving not only your first love, but your second love, your third as well. Keeping your first love vibrant requires work, work on your part. Adrian Rogers used to say, if you don't love the Lord as much as you did when you first were saved, then you've backslidden. And this was the case here in Ephesus. Now here in verse 5, it comes the solution. Not from a self-help book, not from a friend, not from your mother-in-law, not from your best friend, but from the Son of God. Look at the first words here. Now friends, we're in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 2. If you're able to follow along in the Bible, if not, let me read it to you. This is the solution here. This is, he'll always show you how to fix any problem that you find yourself in. So he says, remember, therefore. So I would say to you, get alone with God and remember. Put your phone on vibrate or shut it off. Get these distractions and noise away from you. Maybe turn the radio off after this program or whatever it takes for you. And get alone with God. And remember, he says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. He continues, repent and do the first works. Then he says, or else. So it's kind of a warning or a threat, however you want to take it. Remember how it used to be, or else. Remember from where you have fallen, repent and do the first work. So remember how it was. Repent for what's happened to you and where you find yourself here this morning or here this afternoon. Remember how it used to be. Get alone with God. Shut off all the noise. Let him lead you and guide you and show you and reveal to you where you used to be. Repent of it. Do what you were doing before you let this world get you off track. Or else, he says, I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless if you repent. And now remember, he's writing this to the pastor of the church. I'm sure you and I, we always can glean things out of this. He's not writing about a physical building. He's writing to the spiritual leader of this church. But we all have got something we can take from this. He said, get back to how it used to be. Remember where you were. Repent. Do what you were doing before. And if not, I will come to you quickly, and I will remove your lampstand from its place. Meaning, you're not going to know what hit you. So turn around, pastor, or your lampstand is going to be gone. Remember and repent. Remember and repent. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you have. Have you ever been in a church before where just the presence of God was not immediately felt? It's a terrible feeling. As the pastor and as the spiritual leader of this church, I take this above all, probably the most serious thing as the leader here is to ensure and make sure that when you come here to visit and when you worship God here and when you come to Island Community Church, walk through the threshold here into the sanctuary, that you will experience the presence of God here. Otherwise, I pray, Lord, would just raise up somebody else, that my job, my ministry is done here if I can't guarantee that. All right, Lord, show me where I'm wrong so that I can also repent and make it right. Go back to what I was doing right before. Just show me what I'm doing wrong. Let me make it right, and I will make it right by hook or by crook. So that when you come here and visit here, you will experience the presence of God. And what an awesome thing. You'll experience the presence of God. You will hear God. You'll hear his voice through the preaching of his word. You'll hear it as you open up your Bible and read. And not only that, if I've done my job, then the power to change will be present here as well. Now all that falls on me. He's written this to the pastor. I take it to heart. May you and I take to heart the instructions here he's given to this pastor and to this church here at Ephesus. We're out of time. Thanks for joining us here. We'll pick it up tomorrow in our next program when we get to this persecuted church at Smyrna. There'll be no correction for this church. We'll get to that in our next program. You are listening to WGOD Radio. All truth, all truth.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time.